Hi there, welcome to the brand new edition of Clan Chat as we once again take you into what's going on with Glasgow Clan. I'm Craig Anderson and the push for the playoffs is well and truly on. And it's a Heywood free zone this week now that the testimonial is over and we chat to other members of the team and remind ourselves what they sound like. So with a Heywood free zone we'll chat to our very own number 17 Jordan Heywood about life on the sidelines, how he's taken to helping Zach Fitzgerald on the bench and his part in bringing Sean Robertson to the club. And for clarification purposes, Jordan spells his name differently to Matt, so it qualifies. We delve deep into the career of all-time Clan point scorer Scott Pitt, who takes us through his career journey and reveals what a 24-year-old does in Las Vegas. And speaking of delving deep, we re-enter the Clan vault and look back on a previous encounter with this Saturday's opponents, Guildford Flames. All this, along with an exciting announcement about another Clan podcast coming your way and a Clan conundrum for you too. Welcome to Clan Chat, you lucky people.
Hey, Purple Army, Fitzy here. Welcome to the podcast. Enjoy.
Let's get those brain cells going with a Clan Conundrum teaser to test you for the duration of this latest episode. The puck dropped on the 2019-20 season on the 31st of August, and since then, Clan have signed four players since then. The question is, can you name them all? Which players have all signed for the club since the beginning of the season? Have a think about that. We'll bring you the answer at the end of the show.
Hi, I'm Lyndon Springer, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Just a one game to round up from last week as Clan won their only outing of the weekend, beating Manchester Storm 3-2 in a crucial game as the playoff fight gets more and more intense. Ryan Finnerty, our former coach now in charge at Manchester, and Zach Sullivan, they were both back in Glasgow just days after taking part in Matt Heywood's testimonial. But the first period of the game saw decent chances for both teams in the early stages, as one looked to get the advantage on the other. It was Storm who got the opening goal as Scott Simmons got a pass away to Cody Thompson, who found the puck at his feet before slamming past Patrick Killeen. Clan bounced back straight away as Scott Tansky, who looked a threatening presence in that top line, got the equaliser a minute or so later, dragging the putt in from the left and slotting a low finish past Manchester goalie Matt Ginn. The visitors retook the lead a couple of minutes into the second period when Frankie Melton's effort bounced nicely for Lane Ulmer, delivering his effort into the net. But Clan finally found the net in the third, scoring against the team with the best penalty killing in the league as Craig Peacock's backhanded shot found its way past Ginn to level the game at 2 on the power play. Killeen pulled off a magnificent save shortly after when Cam Braze had space and time in the slot to blast one on goal, but the Clan netminder instinctively made the catch to deny him. And then with 5 to go, the game was settled as Rasmus Bjerrum had room from the centre to get a shot off that beat Ginn low to his right. Storm pulled Ginn in the final couple of minutes in an attempt to pull level, but Clan held on for a much-needed victory. Post-game, I spoke to new signing Sean Robertson and match winner Rasmus Bjerrum.
Really good. Like, we needed that win badly, and all game we struggled to get a goal, so to get it with 5 minutes left, that was a really good feeling.
Sean, your first time here in the Elite League, what did you make of that?
Yeah, a lot of fun, that's for sure. Took me a couple of periods to get my feet under me. Felt like I was stuck in the sand, but the fellas played great tonight. I told them they were babysitting me all night, so it was kind of nice for them to help me out as much as they could, but a lot of fun, great atmosphere, and I couldn't ask for anything better for a team win.
Rasmus, those points, how long away can they go in terms of the playoff race and getting that top 8 berth?
Oh, they were huge because Manchester are right below us, so to get 2 points on them today, that was huge, and we can breathe a little. That felt really, really good for us.
Sean, the Manchester attackers kept you busy, certainly.
Yeah, absolutely. They got a lot of speed up front. They come relentless with their attack. I think we said we weathered their storm for most of the period and found a way to get the job done, and can't take a shift off against those guys because they'll make you pay for it, that's for sure. So I thought we did a good job tonight responding after being down 2-1 and find a way to win this game.
You talked about the struggle in getting a goal, Rasmus, especially in that third period. How much did Pete's goal on the power play help and give you the belief that you could go on and do it?
Oh, obviously, it changed momentum. Like, we had a tough time the two first period to get that momentum. We tried, but after the goal, it seemed like it was kind of a release for us, and after that, I feel like we were the best team.
And Sean, again, first experience of the Purple Army. What did you make of the crowd here tonight?
Unbelievable. I haven't experienced anything like that before, so it was pretty cool. You feel the energy get behind us. I think that's a big reason why, you know, we found a way to get the job done tonight, because their energy, we feed off it. They're loud, they're proud. It's a great atmosphere to play under, and can't wait to keep doing it and feel that same feeling again next home game.
I'm Craig Peacock, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Rasmus Bjerrum and Sean Robertson after Saturday's win over Manchester Storm. Well, we haven't done it in a while, so it's time we spoke at length to one of the Clan players about their life and career in the sport and find out about their various experiences and the journey to Glasgow. This week, I was able to get Glasgow Clan's all-time top point scorer, Scott Pitt, to tell us all about his journey, and it was an interesting insight from a man who's experienced a fair bit along the way. He discusses his early years, what happened in Vegas, and reveals whether or not he could have come back to the Clan after his ill-fated spell in Slovakia. So it's time to hear all about Scott Pitt and his hockey odyssey. Okay, Scott, first one, an easy one. Tell us how your journey into ice hockey began.
Yeah, that's definitely an easy one. My parents got me into ice hockey when I was about 4 or 5 years old. The way my dad tells it is that he basically put me on skates, and I was able to skate around all the other kids with ease kind of thing. So he said, all right, I got to get this kid into hockey and see what happens. We lived about 15 minutes outside the town that we were close to. We had a little spot backed into the woods, and my dad actually, he built me my own rink, like within the woods. He tore down a bunch of brush, and he put up boards, and I had my own personal rink, and he put up pot lights onto the trees so I could play at night, and I was just kind of obsessed from there on out.
How often were you out there?
I was out there every night I could, like as long as there was ice out there, it was great. We were out there all the time, so it was pretty amazing.
Fantastic. So when did you discover it was something that you could go on and do for a living? When did you realize that, hey, you know, you're actually quite good at it and could take it further?
I feel like growing up, I always had an edge on kids. I was playing with kids 2 years older than me for a lot of my minor hockey days. It was kind of from there, like I created a passion for it, and I really discovered like I had a drive and I really wanted to do this, just like any other kid in Canada, I guess. So you just dream about playing in the NHL. So
what team did you follow as a kid?
I'm a Toronto Maple Leaf fan.
Oh, who was your heroes back then?
It got to be Doug Gilmore for sure, but it's not easy following the Leafs at times, but I'm sticking with them until the end.
There you go. Definition of a fan. So you stepped up. So you stepped up from the junior system. You played in the CJHL, and you played with Gloucester Rangers and Orleans Blues. How much of an education was that for you in your late teens, as you looked to develop in the game at that point?
Yeah. So the CJHL is it's junior A back home. It's a great league. It's a great stepping stone league to go to either major junior or to the college route. But I definitely remember when I was 16 and I was eligible to play in Junior A, I got cut my first year, and they sent me down to Junior B, and I just remember being so upset, and I just wanted to make it so bad. So I really buckled down and worked really hard on my game, and sure enough, the next year I was able to make Junior A, and I was over the moon, and I just didn't want to stop there. So the junior system was definitely a good learning experience for me, and it helped me get to where I am now.
How tough is it for someone like yourself at such a young age? You get that rejection, and it gives you the determination. Is it quite cutthroat at times?
Yeah, I mean, definitely at the time it was cutthroat. I mean, you just like, you work so hard and you want it so bad, and then for someone to come down and tell you just this isn't your year, for whatever reason, it's tough to take as a kid for sure. But I felt I was strong enough to take the criticism and work on what they had talk to me about and come back stronger. So,
and they say as well, rejection can help you build character. I guess it's fair to say that that's how it's worked out for you.
Yeah, I can absolutely agree to that.
So from then it was on to college, and you were at Mercyhurst for 4 years. What were you studying at the time?
I was studying sport business. So I did I did 4 years there, and I was able to graduate with a sports business degree.
Good. Still there?
Yeah.
Right, so you went quiet there, just it was abrupt. That's fine. So not only that, obviously you were playing the game still, you had those 4 years in college, and I noticed when I looked at your record, thanks Elite Prospects, your points were picking up every year as well during this spell. How much did you work on that aspect of your game, the fact that you were a bit of a points getter, a goal scorer?
I'd say I worked on it quite a bit. When I was going to college, I got to meet a lot of new faces and get to know people and figure out what I wanted to do. And I quickly decided that a couple summers I would stay back at school with a couple of the guys. And it was great because we were able to live on the campus, and then we could use all the facilities throughout the entire summer. So I really took advantage of that, and I I used that to help develop my skills and become a better hockey player.
And of course, from there, it was the move to Florida in March 2011, the Everblades. How did that come about?
So your senior year in college, college hockey ends in March and then it's done. So the pro leagues are still going on for quite a while. If you're good enough and teams are interested and they need players, they'll pick college guys up to help them get through their seasons, whether they have injuries or they just are looking for you for the next year. So I was lucky enough to get in touch with an agent, and he helped me get to Florida. Basically, they were a couple bodies short, and they were going into the playoff time. So I talked to all my teachers for all my classes, and we decided I could finish all my classes online. And then I went out to Florida, and I was there for about a month and a half, and finished the year there. And then after, I came back and wrote my exams and graduated on time. So.
And I dare say it would have given you the hunger to go on in the game, playing at that level and developing even more.
Yeah, definitely. You get a taste of the pro career, which is, it's definitely different from college hockey. When you're in college, you're kind of, they kind of hand everything to you and push you along, and with just like the off ice stuff. And then when you get to pro, you're basically, you're on your own and you're expected to do everything by yourself. So you definitely learn that pretty quick, and it was a good experience. And then it helped me the next year after that.
And it was here you first played with a couple of guys called Mathieu Roy and Matt Becker. What was it like playing alongside them all those years ago?
It was amazing. Mathieu Roy was our captain at the time, and he was great. He's such like a leader on the ice, with the way he plays the game hard, the way he commits to blocking shots, the way he scores those gritty goals. And he led us to a Kelly Cup championship, which is pretty amazing. I think it's 72 games. It's a grind in that league, and then you've got four series of seven games, and we were fortunate enough to win the whole thing. So, and he was our captain at the time, so that, I think that says a lot. Bex that year, him and I we were roommates, so that's when I first got to know Bex, and we had a fantastic year, and like I said, we won the whole thing, so there was a lot of happy days.
It's funny because I look at you and Beck's careers, and you've kind of followed each other around quite a bit. Obviously, you played with Glasgow. You had that spell together in Manchester as well, then came back to Glasgow. And there's almost parallels with Scott Tansky and Matt Stanish. There we go. Scott Tansky and Matt Stanish. You know, those two guys have been together a long, long time. They've been good friends, and here they are in Glasgow again. I mean, you must know each other inside out.
Yeah, for sure. We've obviously created a pretty good relationship and friendship, and we enjoy playing with each other. I think we complement each other really well on the ice, and it's always fun to continue that on year in, year out. So
now, the following year, it looked like a bit of upheaval. You played for two ECHL sides that year, a little flirtation with the AHL as well, Greenville Road Warriors, and your spell at Las Vegas Wranglers, the two sort of longest. How do you reflect on that season? Was it a lot of upheaval?
I think it was a good year. It was a good year for me. I started out at the Connecticut American League camp, and this was the year of the lockout, so there definitely weren't too many spots available. I found myself as the last cut there, and I was pretty proud of that. And then I went down to Greenville. When they sent me down to Greenville, I didn't have as much success as I was hoping to. I wasn't playing the minutes I wanted to, obviously. And it just didn't seem like a good fit for me. And then eventually I got traded to Las Vegas. And I was over the moon with that decision by the coach. And I couldn't have picked up my bags and got to Vegas soon enough. So when I went to Vegas, it just seemed like a perfect fit on the ice, and then obviously off the ice was a pretty good time as well. But we had a lot of success as a team, and I met a lot of great people, and I loved playing there. And then as that, I believe we lost first round in seven games, so that was tough. But after that year, it's kind of like the college thing. After that, you get a chance to go to the American League if teams are interested in you and they're short on bodies. So I was fortunate enough to go to Peoria and get four games in, just a little bit more experience before their season ended, because they weren't making the playoffs anyway, so they decided to take me on and help me out a little bit too. So, I thought it was a good year overall, and I learned a lot, and I can take a lot away from it.
So, Vegas. What does a 24, 25-year-old guy do in Vegas in his free time?
Vegas was a great setup. We lived about a mile straight down the Flamingo Street, which connects right to Las Vegas Boulevard. You're living in a nice, like, gated community. We had two pools, even though it actually does get pretty cold during the season. But near the end, it started to warm up, and you've got two little pools you can relax by. The rink is about a mile away from the strip as well, so it's really unique. You'll be warm enough for games, and you can see the outline of the strip in the background, and it's kind of surreal at times.
Hey, this is Matt Hayward, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Scott Pitt and his fascinating career in ice hockey. Good news, we got so much from him in that interview. We're going to release the full interview in a Clan Chat special, so look out for that over the weekend and hear the full story from Scott and his career. And FYI, that's not the exciting announcement I teased you about at the start of the show. That's still to come. Also still to come, we hear from Jordan Hayward, but now it's all about Clan taking on Guildford Flames as Paul Dixon brings his side to Glasgow for the latest clash between the two teams. So to get you in the mood for Saturday's game, we've plunged into the archives and dug out a previous meeting between the two sides to look back on and tell you the story of it. It's time to take a look into the Clan Vault. We're in the vault to look back to Saturday, the 2nd of March 2019, as the season was in its final weeks and the Glasgow Clan had enjoyed a decent campaign under coach Pete Russell. With the Gardner Conference trophy in the cabinet and a place in the playoffs all but secured, Clan were looking to get a big result over the Challenge Cup finalists Guildford Flames, who were a week away from their big day in Cardiff against the Belfast Giants when they visited the Into Brayhead Arena. A crowd of 3,306 filled the stands, and prior to this meeting, Clan had won once against Guildford at home in four previous games, and only once in eight in all previous meetings between them. Would this one be any different? Going into the game, Glasgow had lost their previous three, one of which a 4-2 loss at Guildford Spectrum Rink the week before, while the Flames were building up to the game in the Welsh capital. Their form was better, with five straight wins, including two over Manchester Storm, and the aforementioned result against the Clan. And with recent history on their side, it's fair to say Guildford were favourites for this one. But Clan were keen to get at their opponents from the off.
And win it back, Bierum to Earhart. Earhart throws it forward, good effort. Fullerton makes a save, Tansky tried the follow-up to no avail.
Clan had enjoyed the best of the early chances, keen to get their form back on an even keel, and their persistence paid off with the opening goal after 14 minutes and 20 seconds.
Pitt wins it back. Now it's a breakaway from Clan here, 2-on-1. It's Becca to Bierum. Good save from Travis Fullerton, but it's found its way in. Rasmus Bierum is the player to get it. Good combination work with Becca. Fullerton made the initial save, broke again for Bierum, and he managed to find his way in.
It was exactly what the Clan were looking for as they got the upper hand on the Flames in the first period, and they almost got a second one towards the end of what had been an entertaining opening 20 minutes.
Lindhagen feeds it back the way. Cuts inside, Davis tries to put off Tansky. It's another chance for the Clan. It's Tansky. Fullerton stands firm. Tansky went for it again.
It was 1-0 for the Clan after the first, and all the signs were good. Plenty of chances had heartened the fans, but the team didn't let up and again put Flames goalie Travis Fullerton, a former Clan player himself, under some pressure.
Now Guildford come down the other end. Stanish just nicks it away from Dunbar. That leaves Clan open. It's Doucette. Doucette tries one at the angle. A little bit of a shimmy and then the shot, but Fullerton had that near post area covered very well.
At one stage it looked like Clan had found a way through again, but it wasn't to be.
Good pressure in, Mark Howlett, bit of a scramble, the puck is in the net, but the referees have waved it off straight away.
With the quality in the Flames ranks, it was only a matter of time before they started to get some looks on goal, and they almost took advantage of a short pass to test the Glasgow goalie.
Becca, Fitzgerald, Ferguson nicks it away, comes storming down the left hand side, Brett Ferguson. That's a great catch from Joel Rumpel.
Needless to say, Guildford got their reward to tie the game after 34 minutes and 4 seconds.
Interception here is Cruz Reddick. And it's nicked in. Ian Waters has got the final touch. Guildford Flames take advantage. Cruz Reddick played it into the centre. Ian Waters with the crucial touch. And the Flames are level, 1-1.
It started off a busy few minutes until the end of the period when three more goals found their way into the net, but the first one needed some clarification.
Effort from Doucette, flash wide. Sullivan up the outside to Haywood. Connolly has it behind the goal now. Looks for Haywood in the centre. It's a bit of a scramble. They've got it. And it's Guillaume Doucette who has given the goal. A bit of a scramble. Kilford players are protesting with the referees. But the video review has been requested. That's not a surprise. We had a feeling that would come. Now the referees will look at the incident now to decide if this will be a goal for the Clan.
And once the decision was made, the home fans were the ones smiling.
We'll get the verdict on that. And the goal has been given. Clan retake the lead.
So it was good news for the Clan after referees Alan Craig and Pavel Halas took a look at the footage, and things got even better in the final minute of the second period.
Becker for Pitt. It's found its way in. Fullerton can't believe it. Next thing you know, it's gone past him. But they're all congratulating Vaclav Stupka, who must have got the final touch on it to take it beyond Travis Fullerton. The puck sent in from the right-hand side. The touch from Stupka has left Fullerton stunned, and the Clan with 26 seconds of the second period go 3-1 up.
But once again, there was an element of doubt to a point where it needed a second look for the match officials.
Now, there's a video review on that. Not really sure where the doubt is. Well, the referee, Alan Craig, returns to the ice. What's he going to say? Goal is given. Clan are 3-1 ahead.
No sooner than the information was being given on Stupka's goal, Guildford decided to hit back straight away. And their coach, Paul Dixon, got the best possible response 13 seconds later to close the gap.
Guildford have got one back there. Well, the information was coming from the Clan's goal. It looks as though Cruz Reddick has got himself on the board with 13 seconds to go.
It was a one-goal game going into the third period as Guildford made it 3-2. Momentum was with them going into the final stanza, and it showed as they equalised 2 minutes and 42 seconds after the restart.
Guildford, try one! And it's an equaliser. Brett Ferguson with the equaliser, second bite of the cherry. The first effort was saved, and Ferguson tucks it away. We're going to see another video review now. I didn't think there was much to question on that one, but the referee's just making sure, I suppose. No harm in that.
But the goal was given, and Guildford were back on level terms, thanks to Brett Ferguson's determination to get the job done. Now, the game was on a knife edge. Who would come out on top?
You just know this is going to be full on for the next 13 minutes and 15 seconds, that's for sure.
And so it proved to be, with a race on to find the go-ahead goal. Did Clan have anything in the tank, or could Guildford complete a comeback that would keep the recent good run going? Glasgow were in no mood to give the points up easily, and it took a big hit from Matt Becker to prove decisive and where the W would end up.
Becker poked away from him by Jeremy London. Jez, former Newcastle Viper. Stupka finds Pitt. The shot from Becker! Wonderful finish from Matt Becker! In the central position, it landed nicely for him. And he sent the shot flying past Travis Fullerton. The pressure was on for the Clan. Guildford were on the back foot. And Matt Becker's shot, whizzing by the Flames goalie, has put the Clan back in front again.
With the lead restored, Clan needed the insurance marker to tie things up as the game reached its final stages. And it's fair to say, they went all out to look for it.
Finds Pitt in the near side corner. Becker has to chase a little bit. Stupka is able to take advantage. It's Pitt, tries to nick it forward. Still have it. Becker, the shot too high.
Eventually, with a power play, Clan were able to kill the game and did so in excellent fashion.
Clan, 25 seconds with at least a man advantage now. This will be a big kill for Guildford at the stage in the game, if it does lead to anything. Here's Connolly. Sorry, Earhart. Rather! Travis Earhart. It looks as though Doucette got the final touch. Travis Fullerton hits the goal with a stick in frustration. And that means the Clan have gone 5-3 ahead. A wonderful finish. It looks as though Jesse Craig is going into the penalty box as well. But that's a big one for the Clan. A big goal, it could very well decide things.
They had to hang on and do a defensive job first, but that was it. Job done, and a 5-3 victory over Paul Dixon's side, leaving the Purple Army in victorious mood.
One all over. What a defensive job from the Glasgow Clan. The team come off the bench to applaud Joe Rumpel for his heroics on those last couple of minutes, and rightly so. The night belongs to Glasgow Clan. It's only their second victory in 9 games against Guildford Flames.
Post-game, head coach Pete Russell summed up what he made of the game, and it's fair to say he was satisfied from his team efforts in getting the result.
Pete, finally a victory over Guildford. That must have been a good one from your point of view.
Yeah, I thought we played pretty well tonight. I thought they were solid. I thought we played a control game, and I think you have to play that way against them. I thought we took their speed out of the game a lot. And that was the aim, and to get back above their D and not let their D join the rush. And yeah, I was really happy with it, to be honest.
As for netminder Joel Rumpel, he played a big part in the win as Glasgow sealed the win, keeping the door shut on a persistent Flames side, and he praised his teammates for their part too.
Rumps, I've got to ask you about those last few minutes. Have you ever known the last few minutes like it?
Yeah, a couple of times in my career, but you know, the team played well. They got a few power plays, a 5-on-3. They were firing pretty hard, but the guys did a good job, and yeah, we pulled her out.
I mean, concentration levels must be at their highest at a time when you're probably the most tired as well. How tough is that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's not ideal, but you know, your adrenaline gets going, and I think that takes over in a situation like that where you got to close out a game, a couple guys down.
So it was a 5-3 win against a very difficult opponent in the first of a doubleheader that weekend, from which Flames took a 2-1 overtime win in the second part when the sides went to the Spectrum the following night. But with both teams getting ready to meet again this week, can Clan get a third home win over the Flames? We'll wait and see.
Hi, I'm Matt Poofall, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
Glasgow Clan taking on Guildford Flames this Saturday. Face off at 7 p.m. and tickets can be purchased by heading to the Clan website, clanihc.com. One player who sadly won't be taking part this weekend is Jordan Hayward, who is spending the remainder of the season behind the bench, helping out coach Zach Fitzgerald as an assistant coach and contributing in a different way than he would have liked or expected after illness ruled him out for the campaign. Jordan joined us to look ahead to the weekend games, the match with Guildford and the away trip to Coventry, and also spoke of his part in persuading Sean Robertson to join the club. But first, we talked about his unexpected move to behind the bench and how much he's enjoying it so far.
Right, obviously it's tough to move from being a player to being behind the bench. You know, my passion's still in playing, and I miss being out there on the ice all the time, but it's been a fun way to still be involved with the team and still be around the guys and Fitzy, and being behind the bench definitely gives you a different perspective on the game, and I think more is strategic now, and you just maybe see the bigger picture a little more, and when you're not out there playing, then I think things just become a little bit simpler. So it's been kind of an interesting transition there.
Now, it was a few weeks ago it was announced that you would miss the rest of the season because of the injury you have. What is the issue with you? Why is it you can't play for the rest of the season then?
Yeah, so I was having some problems breathing, and they found a blood clot in both my lungs. So I'm on a blood thinner now, and basically over the next 2 to 3 months, the blood clots will just go away. As my blood thins and just the body's natural response to that process. But obviously playing while I'm on a high dose of blood thinners isn't compatible just because of the risk of excessive bleeding if I were to get cut with a skate, or brain bleeding if I were to get a concussion or something like that. So it's unfortunate to end the season that way, but you know, the risk just isn't worth it.
So is it too soon to know what the future holds for you in terms of playing again? You know, is next season a possibility, for example, or is it a case of just waiting to see how you go over this before you even start thinking that way again?
Yeah, I think I have to just kind of get through this. I'll see a hematologist here, and then I'll also see a hematologist at home in the summer and kind of have some of those conversations. This is actually the third time it's happened, so... Obviously, there is. I'm prone to having clots form for some reason, and that definitely makes it more serious. And And as I said earlier, it's kind of about managing the risks. And this being number three, the risk obviously is higher than if this was my first one. So, you know, I need to have those conversations first, but I need to also widen my parameters to the rest of my life, because this stuff like this is pretty serious, and there is a lot more to life than hockey. So,
and speaking of hockey, you were talking there at the start about, you know, being the assistant coach at the moment, helping Fitzy out, being able to see things and help things from that side of things. So is that something that's a possibility, maybe going into coaching if playing was to come to a premature end?
In the immediate future, I'm not sure if it is. Like, I like the idea of coaching, but, you know, the last 13 years since I moved away from home, I lived in a lot of different places, and I've kind of always said that once I'm done playing, I want to be able to pick where I live. My wife and I want to live close to our family. So, you know, in terms of getting into coaching professionally, I don't think that would be something I'm interested in at this point.
So let's take us into the locker room then, the team at the moment. They've enjoyed a bit more of a relaxed time of it with lesser games compared to what it was like in January. How are things in the locker room as we look ahead to what's going to be another busy weekend?
Well, we're just getting ready for the last, about 6-7 weeks of the season. You know, we're in a hunt for the playoffs, and I think everybody's just has a mentality that we have to finish strong, and we have to do what it takes in order to get one of those playoff spots. And really, you know, from there, anything can happen. Matt Haywood's testimonial was a lot of fun. The guys just had a great time together and just celebrating his career and getting to know some of the all-stars who came back. And so I think even an event like that gives us some positive momentum heading into the rest of the season, because, you know, testimonial doesn't come around very often, and to be a part of one is just was exciting and just kind of breaks some energy and some positive vibes to the team. So it was, yeah, that was really good.
Would you go so far as to say it's maybe brought the group closer together after last week and everything that went with that, the fact that it was such a fun time? It was something different as well compared to what a normal week would be like.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a dimension of that. You know, we all got to rally around Woody and just kind of celebrate his career, and anybody who's been at the professional level for even a few years recognizes what a feat it is to play 10 years for the same organization, and to be here from day one is special for him and his family. And I think just getting to see into, I guess, what an honor it was for him, and the chance to support him definitely brought our team closer together.
Now, of course, that was followed up by the victory on Saturday against Manchester Storm, coming from 2-1 down to win the game by 3-2. Would you define that as a character win, the way that the guys were able to dig deep and get something out of it in the end?
Yeah, I think so. You know, ultimately in games, you got to find a way to win. And sometimes you play better than the other team, and then sometimes you don't, and they outplay you. And we look even further back to that two Saturdays ago against Dundee. I thought we outplayed them. We really carried the play a lot of the game. We outchanced them. We really took it to them. And they ended up winning in the shootout, and I thought we deserved to win. But last Saturday against Manchester, you know, I thought most of the game they outplayed us, but we found a way to win, and that's what builds confidence within the team, is finding a way to win a game that maybe you shouldn't, and that gives a group confidence. So that was really big for us.
And of course, really key as well in the middle of a playoff scrap with Manchester, Dundee and Fife right behind the Clan as well. Every point's a prisoner.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those are huge points for us. We really needed them.
Now, last Saturday also saw the debut of Sean Robertson, the new D-man who arrived at the end of last week. Sean cited you as one of the influences behind his move to Glasgow. Tell us about your relationship with Sean and the part you played in helping him come here.
Yeah, so I met Sean 2007. We actually played junior hockey together for 3 years, and just became good buddies over those few years. And then I went off to school at Merrimack College, and then 2 years later, he ended up getting an opportunity to come there as well. So I guess this will be the third time that our paths have crossed in the hockey world. And he's a great guy, and just brings some energy to the locker room, and he's just kind of a goof, so it's fun being around him. And in terms of bringing him here, I knew that they were looking for a defenseman after I was out, and I was just asking Fitzy if they had anybody lined up, and he mentioned Sean's name, and that was kind of the role I played, was just giving him a good reference, saying he's a great guy and would definitely be able to help us. So.
And how well has he settled into the team? He arrived last Friday. I think there was still one or two issues with his registration, but all came through all right, everything worked out, and he got playing on Saturday. So how's he fitted in?
He's fitting well. I mean, it's kind of a tough situation as he got here, played the one game, and then we've had 4 days off. So really for him, it's been only one day he's been around the guys, like at the rink and in the locker room setting. But, I mean, he'll fit in great over the next few weeks as he gets to know guys and just fits into the system here.
So let's look ahead to the weekend. It's a home game against Guildford on Saturday and then a trip away to Coventry on Sunday. Starting with Guildford, of course, a very tough team. They're a team that Clan don't have too good a record against. How much would 2 points on Saturday mean to this team in the current situation?
It would be huge. I mean, as I said, we're in a playoff hunt right now, and every point is a big one, you know, and they're a little bit ahead of us, but they're a team that's kind of had our number this year, so 2 points Saturday would be massive.
And of course Coventry comes straight after, in a similar position to Guildford, a mid-table team. They've been picking up some points as well and score plenty of goals.
Yeah, they're another team who's kind of given us a bit of trouble this year. It was nice that last time we played them we had a 3-2 win over them, I believe. Kept them down to only a couple goals. Those are teams who are right ahead of us. Teams who have a chance to move up and move down. So both games are huge in terms of getting points to put each team in position, good playoff position. So both teams are going to be playing hard. It's going to be some good games.
And of course, back to Saturday, the home game, of course, the fans have been loud and proud in recent weeks as well. That's important at this stage of the season when you're really pushing for something, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, the Glasgow fans have been very supportive all year, and I've been really impressed with how well they cheer and support the team, and you know, now more than ever is when we need them to rally and really bring some noise and give us every advantage we can when we're at home.
I'm Matt Cowlett, and you're listening to Clan Chat.
Number 17 himself there, Jordan Haywood, looking ahead to the weekend games with Coventry and Guildford. Almost there, and it's the small matter of the Clan Conundrum to sort out for you when I sent you a question back at the very start of the show. I asked you, since the season started on the 31st of August, 4 players have signed for the Clan, and I wanted you to name them. So here they are: Scott Jacklin, Chad Smith, Marcus Johnson, and Sean Robertson. Well done if you got them all. You probably did. Another Clan Conundrum to come next week.
I'm Scott Jansky from the Glasgow Clan, and you're listening to the Clan Chat.
That's us, and just another reminder to get your tickets for Saturday's massive game against Guildford Flames at 7 p.m. So get your tickets for the Brayhead Arena Clash at clanihc.com. For the latest news around the club, check out the website, or if you haven't yet, don't forget to like the official Facebook page or follow us on Twitter and Instagram at clanihc. Well, I've kept you waiting long enough, so time for the announcement I promised you back at the start. I'm delighted to tell you there's a brand new Glasgow Clan podcast coming your way starting this Saturday. Jenny McLaughlin and I are bringing you Clan After Battle, our new show which will round up the night's action from home games, some comment and reaction after the final buzzer, and we'll even take your tweets and questions too. It's beginning this Saturday, and you don't have to do a thing. If you already subscribe to Clan Chat, and I hope you really do, you'll get this automatically, so listen out for it on Saturday night when you're on your way home from the game. That's Clan After Battle, our new podcast, starting this Saturday, and we look forward to hearing from you. So that's it from Clan Chat this week. My thanks to Scott Pitt and Jordan Haywood for their time. Also thanks to producer Stuart Priest for another fine job on the production desk this week. Finally, thanks to you for listening and downloading, and if you haven't yet, subscribe to Clan Chat on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Audioboom. And please leave a review telling us what you like, don't like, want to hear more of, or want to hear less of. All feedback is welcomed. Don't forget, listen out for Clan After Battle, the first show going out on Saturday after the game against Guildford Flames. I'm Craig Anderson, and we'll talk to you next week on Clan Chat. Bye for now.